I'm so thankful that Jesus does silence the fears in our lives. Jesus does calm the storms in around our boat. Jesus has us in the palm of his hand, the most safe place we can be. We're protected when we're with Jesus. He calms the storm. Jesus, thank you for calming the storm in our lives. Jesus, thank you for leading our ship, leading our boat into calm waters. Jesus, thank you for your protection and your love and your grace. Jesus, we call on you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness. Jesus, be with us the rest of the service. Calm our spirits. Calm our minds this morning, God. Just allow us to stay focused on you. Jesus, as church looks a little different this morning, that we would be reminded of your goodness through this all. And that as we experience church this morning in this different light, that the distractions around us would fade and that we would be focused fully on you. Our eyes would stay on you, that we would be encouraged, and that any noise around us would just be silenced, and we would be focused on you and your goodness. Be with us this morning, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for an opportunity to meet the mandate you've called us to do, and that's to love you, love God, while loving people. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks, team. For a lot of us, this is different. Being recorded while we're playing music. I spoke to my cousin a couple days ago on Friday night, and he said, we're all going to be televangelists this weekend, so hey, that's awesome. I wonder when I get my jet. I really appreciate these times, these mornings when I'm doing slides and Ella's not here, and it's just really just, well, I got to count now. I ran out of fingers, 1, 2, 3. There's only 5 of us here, and I don't have Ella to do slides because I forget what I'm doing, and you'll have noticed probably a couple times that there are some slides that I missed, but hey, that's okay. That's what grace is for. Grace has me covered. But Ella does such a good job usually on that, I might have to bring her here next Sunday to help me. So that way I don't have to forget. We're going to continue on in our series, Miserably Saved. And it's weird not to have Bill here kind of responding and John responding to my comments and my jokes with their dry jokes. And I'm sure Kat will hit Bill when he hears that and say that he made it big. He's on TV now. He's on Facebook now. But how many of you can say you have lived your life as if you're gloriously saved, or are you one of those ones that say you live your life as though you're miserably saved and you're in that category? And we've asked this rhetorically, and now that you're at home comfortably, maybe in your pajamas or in your housecoat or whatever you're wearing, maybe now is the time you want to throw up your hand and say, yeah, you know what, I fall in that category of being miserably saved. Or, you know, maybe you want to put it on Facebook now, yeah, I'm gloriously, joyfully saved. It's up to you. I'm not going to judge either way. But we talked about our first week of the series about the fact of being gloriously saved and how we're called to be gloriously saved and live this joyful life as believers in Christ. And then last week we talked about getting sin out of our lives. And it was great. It was exciting. Last week we had another new believer come into the family of God. So it was exciting week. And we had that 2 weeks ago as well. So it's been an exciting couple of weeks where people have made the decision to cross that line and come into the family of God and become a believer. So that's great. And welcome to those that are part of that family now. I think that's exciting, right? The scripture that I'm about to read rang so true, the one that we talked about last week, for me, because I think this is how so many of us believers live sometimes. And it says from Exodus 6:5, I said, I've also heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians have enslaved, and I have earnestly remembered my covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, so many of us, God made a covenant with believers. He made a covenant with Israel. And we've talked about this in the past, that when you get saved, you come into that covenant with God. You get the promises of Israel, the people of Israel. We get those promises, all the promises of Scripture, we get. And just like the Egyptians enslaved Israel, sin enslaves us each and every day. And we have an opportunity to break free from that sin, break free from those shackles, break free from whatever's holding us back, and live a life without bondage when we're redeemed. Amen. So this week we're going to talk about redemption. And cup three is redemption of the Seder supper, or the Seder meal. And we were created for purpose. When we were redeemed, we are now to live that purpose out in our life. When we were created, we had this purpose, but we were kind of just floating aimlessly. But now that we are in Christ, we can start actively living out our purpose. We are redeemed. Now, I want you to say this, and you guys on stage can say this with me, but I want you to say, I am created for purpose. I'm created for purpose. You're created for purpose. And I think that's something exciting that we need to celebrate and actually live out in our life, is live out our purpose. Now, I want to keep reading that Exodus 6, and 6 to 8, we're going to jump beyond 5 that we just read. And it says, accordingly, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will free you from their bondage, and I will rescue you with an outstretched arm, with special and vigorous action, and by the mighty acts of judgment. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that it is I, the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land concerning which I lifted up my hand and swore that I would give it to you, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a heritage. I am the Lord. You have the pledge of my changeless omnipotence and faithfulness. A promise that they're free, that they're redeemed, that they have this land, and they have the opportunity to realize it. He is the Lord, their God. He is all-powerful God. And the amazing thing is the promises, as I said just a few minutes ago, those promises ring true for us today. But we live a captive life. We don't live redeemed. So the first point about being redeemed. I forgot about this slide. This was their main theme for this entire series. I forgot to tell you about this. It says, salvation is not the finish line, it's the starting point. We're moving forward. So when we got saved, when we asked Jesus into our heart, that's the starting point. We're not sitting there, we're not hanging out. That's just foolish living. You don't go to a race and just sit at the starting line. Why do you go to the race? To finish the race, don't you? You can't finish if you just sit on your butt. It's kind of a waste of a race car. Now we'll go to the first point. There. Our direction, your direction, is forward. It's never backwards. It's always forward. It's always advancing. It's always progressing. When we cannot start and take our eyes off of Jesus. We always need to keep our eyes on Jesus and progress forward, because when we're with Jesus, we're always moving forward. Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look directly forward and let your gaze be straight before you. We need to be moving forward in all things. We need to be advancing. When you're not advancing, you're losing ground oftentimes, because you kind of stand around, maybe you start wandering, and you kind of wander around, and you move back. Almost all the time when you're not advancing, you move back. The question you have to be asking yourself is, what does God have for you next? Move forward. Advance. It's funny where when we try to move, we need to be looking in that direction. When I'm driving a car, it's much easier to drive forward. I'm not made or I can't drive backwards. And I think about a year ago, year and a half ago, we had a little race around the church between Ella and Megan. And one of them had to try to race around the church going backwards. And the other one could go forwards and look forwards in the direction they wanted to go. And the other one had to shoulder check and try to move. And the person, it's funny, the person that was looking forward won the race quite handily. Remember, Gary? And it's much easier to move forward when you're looking forward. You're looking to where you're going. You cannot be effective unless you're looking in the direction you need to go. You need to move forward. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, "Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it, and will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the rivers of the desert." A new thing. A new thing isn't in the past. A new thing is in front of you, isn't it? A new thing's in front of you. It's got to be in front of you. You need to be moving to the new thing. If you're looking back, you're going to the old stuff. I don't want the old stuff. I want the new stuff. And then the other thing is we don't want to remember the things of the past, because when we're redeemed, when we've given our life to Christ, that old stuff is just that. It's old junk. Right? We want the new, the glorious, the wonderful. Go to the new He has for you. This is our key word for this morning. Redeemed. I am redeemed. And redeemed means to buy back, to win back, to free someone, to liberate someone, to pay their ransom. That's really weird to do on camera, but that's okay. I have to drink. We need to understand that we're redeemed, and so we should change the way we live when we're redeemed. Shouldn't we? We should. Our redemption was paid by the pain and suffering of Jesus, right? So now when he did all that for us, so that we don't have to live that old life, we can move forward into the new life, into the new, into the good. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 21 says, "You must know and recognize that you were redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers. Not the corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ the Messiah." Amen. Isn't that exciting? We were purchased by His blood. "And like that of a sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot, it is true that He was chosen and foreordained. He was destined and foreknown for it before the foundation of the world. But He was brought out to public view, made to manifest in these last days at the end of the times for the sake of you, for the sake of me, for the sake of all of us. Through Him you believe in and adhere to, rely on God, who raised Him up from the dead and gave Him honor and glory." He's alive. He's alive. "So that your faith and hope are centered and rest in God." Amen? Our faith is in Him. He's alive, and He redeemed us. I think that's pretty amazing. That's pretty awesome. And when we come to realize that, it should change the way we live. I asked you guys, and you said, yeah, you agreed with me, right? It should change how we live. And we've got this new term coined up here. In the fall, we have Thanksgiving, but every other day, we're going to have Thanksgiving. We're living lives of thankfulness. Amen? Aren't we? We're thankful for the day He gave us. We're thankful for the blessings He's poured out on us. We're thankful that He redeemed us and called us His. I am really loud and excited. And I hope you don't hear that echo that I just got. If not, I apologize. So how do we live? Do we grumble? Do we kick the dirt? Do we complain? Do we doubt? Like, seriously, do we sit there and say, well, you know, guys, like this is pretty bad right now, what's happening in our community. Huh. I'm going to lose my shirt. I don't know how any of us are going to make it. It's over. The end is near. Is that how we live? Or do we live a life of thankfulness, a life of thanksgiving, and knowing that He has us covered? And do we pray in the victory? And do we pray in the blessings that He has for us? I hope we're doing that. I hope we're living thanks living. Cut the fear out, cut the doubt out, cut the complaining out, and let's be thankful. Let's celebrate and be thankful for all the good things He has given us and is giving us, and the blessings He's pouring out on us and the protection He has given us. Let's live life with His eyes. Don't live a life of anger or hate. Live a thanks-living life. Let's celebrate thanks-living today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our days, and continue with that mindset of thanks-living. Because boy, do things get better. The fourth point is that gratitude grows generosity. Gratitude grows generosity. So in 2017, there was this study done, this scientific study done at the University of Oregon. And they put people in this brain scanner, and I don't know, maybe you've seen Back to the Future, but you remember that thing that Doc put on his head and had all the lights? I don't remember what Doc called it, but it was to read minds. That's kind of what this was. I don't think it was quite that flashy. Doc had it really mastered. But they put this thing on their head, right? And they read the brain scans, the different parts of the body, or the different parts of the brain. And this part of gratitude and the part of generosity are very close, and they're tied together. So they recorded these people getting gifts, and they recorded them also giving gifts. And it was very interesting that when they had an attitude of gratitude, that their generosity grew. Now, I don't know, but the best gift I've ever gotten is the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, isn't it? And through Jesus dying on the cross and rising again and giving me eternal life in Him, that's a pretty amazing gift. And when I live in that lifestyle and that mindset, and when I understand and realize and actually show gratitude, boy, does my generosity want to go up. And I'm a lot more willing to help people because I've received this gift that I can't even fathom at this point in time. And it's amazing how that university study proved it out. The connection there. And I think that's something that we need to really understand and really live by, is that understanding of the generosity of Jesus sacrificing His life for us. That's something that we should celebrate. That's something that should allow us to give some generosity to others. These folks back in the New Testament times in Acts 2, 44 to 47. Those are some generous folks. And why were they so generous? But they had just witnessed Jesus, their Savior, dying on the cross, being raised again. And that's the stuff we get to experience. And that's what we're going to read here. And it says, "And all who believed, who adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus Christ were united, and together they had everything in common. They sold their possessions, both their land property and their movable goods, and distributed the price among all, according as any had need." That means they shared with each other. They if somebody had a need, they would give to them. "And day after day, they regularly assembled in the temple with united purpose. And in their homes, they broke bread, including the Lord's Supper. They partook of their food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts, constantly praising God." Sounds like a thanks-living life, doesn't it? "Constantly praising God and being in favor and goodwill with all people. And the Lord kept adding to their numbers daily those who were being saved from spiritual death." So why were they so generous? Because they had just seen this gift that they could not even repay, this debt that Jesus paid for them to give them eternal life. And they felt so much gratitude. And that's how we need to live our life, with so much gratitude. And you know, the cool thing was, as I was thinking about that, about ministering and meeting others' needs, and you know, recently we were able to help meet that need of that single mom in our community that had a need. And we have opportunities to meet other needs around the community when there's a need. We have that opportunity to be what we've called to do. And as we're going through this time right now, we can meet our mandate as a church to meet the spiritual and emotional needs of our community. We're here for them. That's our purpose. That is what we belong for, or that's what we exist for, sorry. Not to take, but to give, to love, to share. That's what we're called for. And I pray that we would be as generous in our life as they were, living a thanks-living life. And the fifth is to understand being redeemed. And I've hit that on when I talked about redeemed. I hit that when I talked about thanks-living lives. If you understand being redeemed, you realize your purpose. See, we were created to do good works. We were created to minister to people. We were created to love. We were created to live this thanks-living life. And 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness, and paid for, made his own. So then, honor God and bring glory to him in your body." Now, that scripture is an interesting scripture because people always talk about our physical body, but it also means the body of Christ, the church. It means us as a group. It means us not just as individuals, but us as a family. And it's weird right now not getting together with your church family. But the thing is we have opportunities to connect even when we're not connected, because we're all meeting the mandate that Christ has called us to do, to love people. Right? I think that's great. I think that's good news. And I have one more point, and that is, find your purpose. And when you find your purpose, there is a greater joy in our life. When you find your purpose, isn't it easier to be joyful? So why is there joy? Revelations 5, 9 and 10 says, "And now they sing a new song saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to break the seals that are on it. You were slain and sacrificed, and with your blood you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to our God. And they shall reign as kings over the earth.'" Well, we could stop there and say, that's a good reason to have joy. Right, Gary? Dave? Terry? Yeah. Mary? That's a good reason. We are kings in his eyes. And we shall reign forever in heavenly places. See, we get stuck trying to find our purpose. And we get stuck trying to find our purpose because we're not doing what God has called us to do all the time. We need to align our life to what he created us for. Once again, to what? Love people? I think that's so important. I think that's so critical. That's why our sign says it. We love God by loving people. And Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life," "which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." See, he made the plans. They're ready for us. We just need to walk the path. As Mel shared last week, his testimony, we need to step out. We need to step out and we need to walk the path. He's made out a good path for us. It's not that we're predestined there. It's not that, well, whatever happens, happens. If it's God's will, that's not how it works. We need to walk the path that he has laid out, the good path. We can walk down other paths. It's our choice, but we can walk towards him and the good path. That's a pretty good plan. It's a good life. Who wants to live a good life? I want to. I want to live the good life. And you know, you watch movies and they talk about the good life. A life with Jesus is the real good life. It's not a mediocre life. It's not a bad life. It's the good life. Not a life of surviving and getting by, but a life of thriving and of joy and of confidence in him. The thriving life is the good life. And even though the world and the media is showing us death and showing us fear and trying to make things look negative, we can strive to thrive. Because we can live the good life when we're with Jesus. And we as believers and those who know Christ can thrive. And we are protected. And we can be living a thanksgiving life because we are redeemed by Him. So I'm going to invite you. We're going to sing one more song. I'm going to pray quickly here. And Mary and the team are going to lead us in one last song. And then Mary's going to pray. And I'm not going to be able to shake your hands or give you a hug at the door today. I'm not going to be able to give you a high five or a fist bump or an elbow bump or whatever we want to do today. But what we can do is I can pray for you and you can call me if you want to talk. I'd love to talk. If you know me, you know I like to talk. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you that you sent Jesus to this earth to redeem us, to bring us in right relationship with you, to call us out into the good life. I pray, Father, that we would choose to live a life of thanksgiving. That we would live this life of thanksgiving. And I don't know who's watching today, but I'm going to give you an opportunity today, right in your home, right wherever you are, to make a commitment if you want. So I'm going to ask you to, you're by yourself or you're with somebody, I'm going to make you or give you an opportunity to just pray the prayer of salvation. If you want to become a believer, if you want to start down that path of living the good life. So let's pray. Would you repeat after me? And guys on stage, would you repeat after me so these guys can feel confident in their home? Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth. For me, Jesus, I pray you would forgive my sins. I pray you would wash me new and set me on the path of the good life, a life that chases after you. Jesus, thank you for your forgiveness, for your love, and for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you for whomever might have prayed that prayer today, this morning, for the first time. Jesus, I pray that you would just encourage them and love them. Father, let them get connected to us at the church. Father, I pray that they would have in their spirit an urging to call a friend or a believer that they know from our church that would just connect with them and encourage them and love them. And God, I pray that they would get connected with me so that we can just walk with them, that we can give them a new Bible that we have. Jesus, I pray that we have these opportunities. Be with us, Father. I pray that each and every person that listens to this message this morning will have had a peace breathe on them, that any anxiousness would be washed away, and that they would be encouraged. Father, I pray from here on out that we would start living thanksgiving lives, that thanksgiving would reign true, and that we would be excited for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mary, please lead us in one last song.
This is quite a new song, and the words are straight from Scripture, and it's a blessing straight from the heart of God for His children. And so even if you don't know it, I just encourage you to let the words just pour into your lives as we sing them today over our families and our church family and our community. Just the heart of God that He wants to bless us. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children. Children and their children, may his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his Says that you're for us and that you have good plans for our lives, and we just claim your promises and your word for protection right now. We thank you for health. We thank you that you're the healer and the giver of all good things, and we just thank you for that as we go out into our week confident, knowing that you're for us and you're protecting us and your angels are surrounding us. In Jesus' name, amen.